بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وبعد. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ولو شئنا لبعثنا في كل قرية نذيرا. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم، وعن أنس بن مالك رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا صلى الغداة جاء خدم المدينة بآنيتهم فيها الماء، فما يأتون بإناء إلا غمس يده فيها، فربما جاءه بالغداة الباردة فيغمس يده، أو كما قال. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, many examples can be cited of prominent personalities throughout history who, in addition to benefiting mankind during their respective lives, equally had a profound impact on society after their demise by virtue of the noble legacy they left behind. However, there is only one example, without exception, in the entire annals of history of a person who, apart from benefiting mankind while he was alive or after his demise, Allah's Qasam, he equally benefited mankind before his birth, and that was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is no other human in the annals of history that, as an unborn child, his blessings were experienced, his barakat was appreciated, both locally in Arabia and by extension across the globe. Secondly, when we speak of prominent personalities, the maximum we can say, he was an amazing child, a brilliant young boy and a talented adult. That's about all. But when it comes to the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was just not an amazing child. Wallahi, he was an amazing baby. And that term again is exclusive to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because in any other circumstances, a baby, there's no degree of communication. Hence, you cannot attach the quality of uniqueness to a baby. And I'll support this and substantiate it. And thirdly, and very importantly, the maximum we say in the praise of any person is loved by all, respected by all. But in the case of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was loved by all and adored by every object, animate or inanimate. Hence he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, هذا جبل يحبنا ونحبه. Leave the world, even Mount Uhud can't do without me. Leave the world, even Mount Uhud cannot do without me. Now let's just look at the amazing union, the marriage of Nabi alayhi salam's parents, the outstanding pregnancy, and the grand birth and the amazing arrival. Ibn Sa'd makes mention of the narration. He says, حَدَّثَنَا وَهْبُ بْنُ جَرِيرُ بْنُ حَازِمٍ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا أَبِي سَمِعْتُ أَبَا يَزِيدَ الْمَدَنِي يَقُولُ أَنَّ عَبْدَ اللَّهِ أَتَى عَلَى إِمْرَأَةٍ مِنْ خَثْعَمٍ. That Abdullah radiyallahu anhu, the father of the Master sallallahu alayhi wasallam, passed by a woman from the Khas'am tribe. The narration of Bayhaqi ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma says, وَكَانَتْ ذَاتَ جَمَالٍ, a woman of exceptional beauty. Another narration of Ibn Sa'd, أَنَّ قَتِيلَ بِنْتَ نَوْفَلْ أُخْتَ وَرَقَ ibn نَوْفَلْ. We refer into Qatila, the daughter of Nawfal, the brother, the sister of Waraqa ibn Nawfal. Now we know Waraqa ibn Nawfal was the very person to whom Nabi alayhi salam was taken when he received his first revelation. And there's a dedicated book that speaks on the iman of Waraqa ibn Nawfal. Anyway, this woman seen Nabi alayhi salam's father, فَرَأَتْ بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ نُورًا سَاطِعًا إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. She seen this divine light glowing on the forelock of Abdullah radiallahu anhu. She seized the opportunity and she came forward and she said, I'm proposing to you. Abdullah radiallahu anhu said, I will look into the matter and I will get back to you. But this choice was divinely planned by Allah for Amina radiallahu anha. No woman could possibly snatch this honor from Amina. no woman could possibly snatch. On the plan of Allah, by the decree of Allah, this relation and this nikah took place, this union was consummated, and the greatest human was conceived. Subsequently, Abdullah radiallahu anhu passes by this woman again, and the topic of nikah comes into discussion again, but at this point she declines. So Abdullah radiallahu anhu asked her, initially you proposed to me. I said, I will look into the matter. I did get married, but now I see you refuse blatantly. What is the reason? She answered, مَرَرْتَ وَبَيْنَ عَيْنَيْكَ نُورٌ سَاطِعٌ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. When you passed the first time, there was this divine glow, this celestial light beaming on your forelock. The light is no longer there. I'm convinced you are married, the relation has been consummated, and this light has been transferred into the womb of your wife. Congratulations to you, Abdullah, and to your wife, Amina, and to you as a pair. Undoubtedly, you will be the greatest parents planet Earth has ever seen. I read this narration in Khasais al-Kubra of Allama Suyuti, rahimahullah. Then I did some homework on the very narration in Sirat al-Mustafa. And there is Ta'addud al-Turuq. This is a bit of an academic debate, but for the benefit of the scholars, I shade. He concludes in Sirat al-Mustafa, the author, given the multiple narrations in this regard, one has to conclude in the terminology of muhaddithin that these narrations enjoy the rank of hasanun li ghayrihi, which enjoys a great status of authenticity as viewed and understood and graded by the scholars of hadith. In the terminology of muhaddithin, we refer to the miracles performed by a prophet post-prophethood as mu'jiza. And the books of hadith are filled in this regard, mu'jizatun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the supernatural performances of a prophet. So there are many, many miracles, you know, it runs into the thousands. In the case of Nabi alayhi salam, suffice to say the Quran was the greatest miracle. وَكَلَامُ رَبِّي لَا يَجِيءُ بِمِثْلِهِ أَحَدٌ وَلَوْ جُمِعَتْ لَهُ الثَّقَلَانِ. And then we refer to a term, and that's the supernatural performances of the pious people. We use the phrase karama. وَكَرَامَاتُ الْأَوْلِيَاءِ حَقٌ. We believe that the supernatural, miraculous things at the hands of the pious, Allah Ta'ala causes them to perform certain miracles. This is a reality which is authentic and substantiated. And there is yet a third term, and that is istidraj, and that refers to the supernatural performances which are supported by evil forces. So there are people that transgress the limits of Allah, yet they do peculiar, strange, uncommon things. This is referred to as istidraj. Now in the terminology of hadith, there is one added term as well, and that is the supernatural performances of a prophet pre-prophethood. And in the instance of Nabi alayhi salam, just not pre-prophethood, wallah, pre-birth. Pre-birth, obviously the Prophet ﷺ did not perform it himself because he was an unborn child, but there is consensus by the historians, it was as a result of the Prophet ﷺ. Hence it is attributed to him, and this we refer to as irhas. وَكَانَتْ إِرْحَاصَاتُ النُّبُوَّةِ تَتَبَدَّى لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. And as he drew closer to prophethood, these miracles started persisting. You know, they came out repeatedly one after the other. Now, according to the narration of Tafheemul Qur'an, 50 days spot on before the grand arrival of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, that marks the greatest moment in the annals of human history. Abraham mobilizes his forces, comes with the nasty agenda to destroy the Kaaba. Abdul Muttalib, the grandfather of the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the custodian of the Kaaba at that time. Ibn Jarir and Ibn Hisham both make mention of the narration and the couplets of Abdul Muttalib, Lahumma innal abda yamna'u rahlahu famna' hilalak. لا يغلبن صليبهم ومحالهم غدوا محالك إن كنت تاركهم وقبلتنا فافعل ما بدا لك وانصرنا على آل الصليب وعابديه اليوم آلك يا رب لا أرجو لهم سواك يا رب فامنع منهم حماك إن عدو البيت من عاداك امنعهم أن يخربوا قراك. These were the profound couplets of the custodian of the Kaaba, Abdul Muttalib, the grandfather of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, "Oh my Lord, inna al-abda yamna'u rahla." Each man prides himself to protect his fort. "Famna' hilalak," you take care of the sanctity of the Kaaba. "La yaghlibanna salibuhum wa mihaluhum ghadwan mihalak." Ghadwan ay ghadan, mihal ay quwa. Allah, let not their might and their strength dominate over us tomorrow. وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَىٰ آلِ الصَّلِيبِ وَعَابِدِيهِ الْيَوْمَ آلَكَ. And aid us against these infidels, O Allah. Ya Rabbi, اِمْنَعْ مِنْهُمْ حِمَاكَ. O Allah, protect your house against them. لَا أَرْجُوا لَهُمْ سِوَاكَ. My hope is in you, O Allah. Let them not desecrate and destroy and violate and invade your Kaaba, O Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deployed the birds at that time. As the Quran says, everything can form the army of Allah. It's what He decides to deploy at which time. Sometimes He deploys the winds. We are seeing, my brother, how Allah is deploying the earth. In 90 seconds, 220 billion estimated cost. I'm saying, my brother, yesterday was Haiti. Today is Chile. The day before that was tsunami. And the day before that was Turkey. When will my eyes open? Allah speaks of 8 winds in the Quran, Ibn Kathir's narration. 4 winds are violent, 4 winds are rahmat. وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلَ وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلَ. Allah said, we deployed birds. تَرْمِيهِمْ بِحِجَارًا. A insignificant creation apparently as a sparrow, which carried a pebble in its beak. And hurl down upon them forcefully. فَجَعَلَهُمْ كَعَصْفٍ مَأْكُولٍ. Reduce them to smithereens. Historians write, لَقَدْ بَدَأَتْ بَرَكَاتُ مُحَمَّدُ بْنُ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ تَنْهَالُ عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ وَعَلَىٰ الْإِنسَانِيَّةِ جَمِيعًا وَهُوَ جَنِينٌ فِي بَطْنِ أُمِّهِ. The blessings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were experienced by the Quraysh primarily and by humanity in its entirety, while the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an unborn child. Reverse the situation. How often today the unborn child is the cause of discord? They're arguing what color theme should we make the room. The child is not born. There's discord. I had a couple that phoned me one day, they got married, and then they pushed the phone. Morana, tell him, isn't he should make the first Eid by my parents? I said, Ramadan, we haven't cited the crescent of Ramadan. The argument is, how do we split Eid day between my parents or your parents? The unborn child has become the cause of discord. Yet the master is not born and decisions are taking place on earth. Consensus among the scholars. فَعَظَّمَتِ الْعَرَبُ قُرَيْشًا. The entire Arab world started respecting the Quraysh. And what did they say? هَؤُلَاءِ أَهْلُ اللَّهِ. هَؤُلَاءِ أَهْلُ اللَّهِ. These are the people of Allah. لَقَدْ قَاتَلَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَكَفَاهُمْ شَرَّ عَدُوِّهِمْ. I mean, look at how Allah intervened for these Quraysh. These are divine people. Scholars write, وَكَأَنَّ ذَلِكَ كَانَ تَمْهِيدًا مِّنْهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى لِذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ الَّذِي وُلِدَ فِيهِ مُحَمَّدُ بْنُ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ. Allah was just leveling the ground and laying out the red carpet for the grand arrival. For the day, for the coming of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now the pregnancy of Amina radiallahu anha was a unique pregnancy. Inna ummahu Amina lamma hamalat bihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lam tajid ma tajiduhu alhawamilu adatan min alwahni wa adda'fi. Fakana hadha ayah. Amina radiallahu anha did not have to contend with the common challenges that an average pregnant woman has to contend with. I should add, even the husband. Just as when the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam committed the Quran to memory, I mean, look at this. When Jibreel would come and descend, and then he would read the Quran, initially the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to read passionately to secure, to preserve. Allah then said, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you don't have to subject yourself to this daunting task. سَنُقْرِئُكَ فَلَا تَنْسَى. سَنُقْرِئُكَ فَلَا تَنْسَى إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا جَمْعَهُ وَقُرْآنَهُ فَإِذَا قَرَعْنَاهُ فَاتَّبِعْ قُرْآنَ O Muhammad ﷺ, that applies to the whole world besides you, that you have to repeat it. You will only listen and I'll divinely insert it in your memory. Quran says it. Amina radiallahu anha did not have the common challenges of a pregnant woman. We know it, anyone who is a father, the nausea, the morning sickness, the backaches, the headaches, later then constipation, not to speak of the mood swings. By the way, that carries on after birth also. Yesterday someone told me a nice thing. They say, what do you call a man who surrenders? Who surrenders when he knows he's wrong? They call him an honest man. He's honest. What do you call a man who surrenders when he's not sure if he's right or he's wrong? He's a wise man. He's playing safe. Taking the precautionary route. But what do you call a man who surrenders when he knows spot on he's right? He's a husband. What do you call a man who surrenders when he knows he's right? Correct. 100%. You call him a husband. Anyway, Amina radiallahu anha did not have to contend with this. The pregnancy was amazing. It was unique. A. B. لما وضعته صلى الله عليه وسلم خرج نورا. When she delivered the master صلى الله عليه وسلم, what that moment must have been. Oh my Allah, what that moment must have been. A nur, a light. أضاء لها قصور الشام. It lit up the palaces of Syria. ولد صلى الله عليه وسلم مختونا. The Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was divinely born circumcised from Allah. قَالَ الْحَاكِمُ تَوَاتَرَتِ الْأَحَادِيثِ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وُلِدَ مَخْتُونًا Imam Hakim says this consensus by the narrations that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born divinely circumcised. Number four, امْتِلَاءُ الْبَيْتِ الَّذِي وُلِدَ فِيهِ نُورًا The whole room, the whole environment was enveloped, was gripped in divine light. وَرُؤْيَةُ النُّجُومِ وَهِيَ تَدْنُو مِنْهُ حَتَّى لَتَكَادَ تَقَعُ عَلَيْهِ And there was a constellation of stars that was gazing down on the birth, overlooking the birth to the extent that some historians say it was as if a star was going to collapse in the lap of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The great moment happens. Scholars write, Allah made it happen at the junction of the day and the night. It was the flush of dawn, the break of dawn. So that the privilege of the arrival of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam can equally be shared and both night and day can boast to say Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was born in me. So it happened at the break of dawn. Some people in a point of nukta argue Allah could have also arranged for the divine birth of Nabi alayhi salam at sunset because that's also the meeting of night and day. But the answer given by the scholars is that it's definitely the meeting of night and day, but it's the disappearance of light and the arrival of darkness. Allah made it at the point when darkness disappeared and light came. So the sun rise and the sun of Nabuwat continues to rise. The sun of Nabuwat does not set. My mother Aisha said, لَنَا شَمْسٌ وَلِلْآفَاقِ شَمْسُ لَنَا شَمْسٌ وَلِلْآفَاقِ شَمْسُ وَالشَّمْسِ خَيْرٌ مِّن شَمْسِ السَّمَاءِ فَإِنَّ الشَّمْسَ تَطْلَعُ بَعْدَ فَجْرٍ وَالشَّمْسِ طَالِعٌ بَعْدَ الْعِشَاءِ Aisha radiallahu anha said, I challenge the sun of the skies. You brighten half the world, the other half remains in dark. My Nabi radiates light 24/7. So Abu Lahab, the uncle of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whose actual name was Abdul Uzza, who was also the son of Abdul Muttalib, the brother of Abdullah. By the way, scholars say Abdullah radiallahu anhu, the father of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, passed away at the tender age of 18. This is the view of the Sharih of Bukhari, and this view is held by great giants in the field of hadith. There is difference of opinion, the more preferred opinion is Abdullah radiallahu anhu, Allah called him back at the tender age of 18 after being the father of the greatest human. Well, he had not seen that day, but the honor stands with him. Abu Lahab, his slave girl Tuwayba comes and says, a son has been born to your late brother Abdullah. in a moment of joy, excitement, jubilation, overwhelmed. فهذا أبو لهب عندما سمع بولادة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أعتق جاريته سويبة التي بشرته بمولد الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. So when Suwayba, the slave girl, came and she said, "Glad tidings, a son has been born to your late brother Abdullah." He was ecstatic, he was overwhelmed, he was gripped by emotions and joy. He said, "As a moment of happiness and excitement, I liberate you." And this was customary amongst the Arabs, that they would acknowledge a messenger who conveyed glad tidings. So he liberates his slave girl on the good news of the arrival of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But hear me out very clearly, because I need to draw your attention to a very, very important and significant point in the entire discussion. Tragically, when Nabi alayhi salam grew up and became the greatest human and assumed the position of Nabuwat, the very man who rejoiced over his birth vehemently opposed the cause and became hostile to Islam. He was just not a disbeliever, but he was infidel, he was obstinate, he became a great obstacle to the cause of Islam. And his wife Umm Jamil, husband and wife, had a common agenda, anti-Islam. She had a very, very valuable pendant, and she said, "I will spend this, take the money, and harm the cause of Islam." وَامْرَأَتُهُ حَمَّالَةَ الْحَطَابِ وَامْرَأَتُهُ حَمَّالَةَ الْحَطَابِ فِي جِيدِهَا حَبْلٌ مِّن مَسَدٍ. Allah speaks about it. Masad, a hadith according to Mujahid's narration. Abu Lahab, before I show you the benefit of his rejoicing on the birth of Nabi alayhi salam, I just want to make you understand how gruesome his crimes were, how horrendous his offenses were. He was the very person that cursed Nabi alayhi salam in public and said, "Tabban lak, woe be to you." He was the very person that had insisted on his sons Utbah and Utaybah to divorce the daughters of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ruqayya and Umm Kulthum, and I'm not going into the details. His wife used to sing the couplet, "Muzammaman asayna amrahu abayna deenahu qalayna," that the world calls you praised one, we call you condemned one. One day she walked into the masjid. The narration is in Ibn Kathir. Nabi alayhi salam is sitting with Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr goes in a state of phobia and panic. "Oh Nabi of Allah, Umm Jamil, this woman is nasty. She's advancing, she has a stone. She's going to hurl this toward you." Nabi alayhi salam said, "Relax Abu Bakr, innaha lan tarani." She will come in front of me and she won't see me. So she came right in front. She looks at Abu Bakr and says, "Where's Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?" And Nabi alayhi salam, read the narration of Ibn Kathir. Sirat al-Mustafa has quoted the full narration. "My brother, I always say it and I will cry again. How much have we read the biography of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You want to follow every bulletin? You want to know which match, which who plays when and how and what? And you haven't yet mastered the biography of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Your child asks you a simple question regarding Nabi alayhi salam. Wait, I will ask the scholar, I will ask that scholar. What do I know about the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How much have I empowered myself with this life?" So when Nabi alayhi salam was favored with Nabuwat, the very person who rejoiced on the birth and liberated his slave, the very person opposed the cause of Islam. However, it appears in the narration, and listen to me attentively, I beg of your undivided attention. It appears in the narrations up to this day, 14 centuries down the line, until Qiyamah. Notwithstanding the hostility and the aggression, the vice and the transgression, the obstinate nature and the arrogance of Abu Lahab, given the fact that he rejoiced on the birth of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he liberated his slave girl as a mark of joy, every Monday his punishment is reduced in the grave. Read all the books of Sirat. Every Monday he enjoys some concession. Now again, let me take you to one verse of the Quran to appreciate the enormity of the punishment of hell. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِخَزَنَةِ جَهَنَّمَ ادْعُوا رَبَّكُمْ يُخَفِّفْ عَنَّا يَوْمًا مِّنَ الْعَذَابِ. The dwellers of hell will suffer such pain and agony that they will beg Malik, who represents the case of the dwellers of hell, and will say, "Oh Malik, can you strike a negotiation with Allah and see if Allah can just give us off one day and drop us back in hell? We're happy with that." We are so desperate that if we can just negotiate one day of concession, we will jump for that one day. Abu Lahab enjoys a moment of ease and concession and reduction to his torment every Monday in his grave, simply because he rejoiced on the birth of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Hafiz Shamsuddin Muhammad ibn Nasiruddin al-Dimishqi has encapsulated these sentiments very profoundly and aptly in his beautiful couplets when he said, إِذَا كَانَ هَذَا كَافِرٌ إِذَا كَانَ هَذَا كَافِرٌ جَاءَ ذَمُّهُ تَبَّتْ يَدَاهُ فِي الْجَحِيمِ مُخَلَّدًا أَتَى أَنَّهُ فِي الْيَوْمِ اثْنَيْنِ دَائِمًا أَتَى أَنَّهُ فِي الْيَوْمِ اثْنَيْنِ دَائِمًا يُخَفَّفُ عَنْهُ لِلسُّرُورِ بِأَحْمَدَا فَمَا الظَّنُّ بِالْعَبْدِ الَّذِي كَانَ عُمْرُهُ بِأَحْمَدَ مَسْرُورًا وَمَاتَ مُوَحِّدًا. I wish you could appreciate this in Arabic. He said, إِذَا كَانَ هَذَا كَافِرْ, here stands an infidel, جَاءَ ذَمُّهُ, who has been condemned in the Quran, تَبَّتْ يَدَاهُ فِي الْجَحِيمِ مُخَلَّدًا, may his hands perish and he will dwell in hell forever. Ata, it appears in the narrations, annahu fil yawm ithnain, every Monday, da'iman, yukhaffafu anhu, his torment is reduced, lissururi bi ahmada, simply because he rejoiced on the birth of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hafiz Shamsuddin Muhammad ibn Nasiruddin al-Dimishqi jazahullahu anna khair al-jaza, then elevates the couplets to a pinnacle and he says, I throw out a question to the floor and I open it up to the masses. فَمَا الظَّنُّ فَمَا الظَّنُّ بِالْعَبْدِ الَّذِي كَانَ عُمْرُهُ بِأَحْمَدَ مَسْرُورًا وَمَاتَ مُوَحِّدًا. Can the words of any language encapsulate the honor, the privilege, the status that Allah will give to that Muslim who rejoices and renews his joy on the birth of Nabi alayhi salam and prides himself with the noble personality, the impeccable character of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 24/7 till he dies. You know, brothers, how do we pride ourselves? They say this scholar walked into the masjid. If you travel, you know, in North America, in the Western world, you will find the masajid. Every Friday, religiously, routinely, there is a call for collections to complete the masjid, to pay for this. There's an adjacent building. These are, you know, and then the brothers from this masjid would collect at that masjid, the brothers from that masjid would come here and they would alternate and rotate it, that there is lack of funds. So this brother walks into the masjid, the imam, and he says, folks, I've got good news and bad news. Good news is we've got enough funds to complete our project and become independent financially. Everybody is happy, great. Bad news is the money is still in your pockets. My brother, on that note, I say, I have good news. You and I have the formula, Allah's Qasam, we have the formula to rescue the world from the crisis they are going through. The bad news is we're hoarding the formula. We're sitting with it high and dry. The world is on the brink of destruction. Yesterday, my mother was telling me of a tale. One of my cousins have a chemist. There was a non-Muslim lady very recently that was visiting very religiously, a very respected, measured woman, dignified. Every week she would come and she would take these antidepressant pills. So one day my cousin decided to engage her and said, you know what, sister, you come in and wonderful, but maybe it's good that I bring it to your notice. These are not things that you keep long-term and the repercussions and the nasty effects of this are long-term. So with a sigh, she said, let me tell you my tale. This is recently, about 2-3 months ago. In our country. Come and tell you my tale. My daughter got chatting online. Now the Facebook is over, now it's onto Twitter. So I was asking someone, the person is on Twitter, what do you call him, a twit? I don't know, I'm asking. Because, you know, it continues every day, there's some new thing to plunge humanity deeper into the hole of immorality. Come, I tell you my tale. My tale is as follows. My daughter got chatting online. And as they camouflage and disguise, she got chatting with my husband. And they got into a very deep relation. And then you obviously branch off and you divulge information. And when, this is a non-Muslim girl, when she realized she was chatting with her father, she was so disgusted, she was so offended, she couldn't contain herself, she decided to commit suicide. And she put a note next to her bed, "Mom, run from this man, he's the most wicked creature I've ever met. I cannot tell you how immoral our conversations were on chatting. I cannot tell you how wicked, supposedly, my biological father is. I die, I cannot bear the pain." What? How immoral and, you know, how the romance type of discussion that we entered into when I discovered it's my father. I said, I am better off dead. And I beg you, my mom, leave this man and run as far as you can. أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلْ. Allah put a thought in my mind. I was giving a talk recently and I say this humbly. When a person digresses from his object and he slips away, Allah doesn't say he's an animal. Allah said, you are insulting the animals by calling him an animal. Look at the verse of the Quran. Allah didn't say by calling him an animal, you're insulting humans. You're insulting the animal kingdom. Coin another phrase. Look for another word. Pity the animal kingdom. That's an insult to them. What's the words of the Quran? How profound. أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلْ. Look for something else. Don't disgrace the animals. Don't disgrace the animals. You and I have the formula to rescue the world. We're hoarding it. We are hoarding this formula. So we don't rejoice merely by having an occasion, which is great, it's meritorious. Just Friday, alhamdulillah, and I want to share this. I was in Cape Town, and brilliant. I was really blown away. There was a program in the Sira, and I was invited to participate, and I feel honored to be part of that program. A program that ran from 11 in the night till Fajr. My talk was at 3:30. Literally 3:30. I was captured. I was riveted to see young and old coming together. The entire night was on the seerah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Praises, salutations, durood, lectures. It was buzzing. It was electric. It was wholesome. May Allah reward everyone who participated. It was just wholesome and amazing. Now, when I said the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam was unique as a baby, that was an exaggeration. That was literal. And I share with you the narration in Khasais al-Kubra. Allama Suyuti makes mention of it on page 100 in the Beirut print. I'm giving these references for scholars so it's easy for access. And in Atlas al-Quran, it's on page 99, the same narration. Atlas al-Quran is very beautiful. It's in Arabic, Urdu, and English. It's a brilliant read. It's a very vast, encompassing on the noble life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh, listen to this. Halima radiallahu anha says, I just wanted to mention one other thing before I digress onto this year. When we look at the life of Abu Lahab, and we see this year, that although he had committed all the crimes, but he did one good. That one good had its benefits. I am saying to you, my young boy, don't club and pub and womanize. But Allah forbid if you did it, and when you come in back, and there is the urge of 2 rakat namaz, make the 2 rakat namaz. You've come back, you've done wrong, and you said, let me go to the masjid. Go to the masjid. Abu Lahab has to his account every wrong. وَلَهُمْ أَعْمَالٌ مِّن دُونِ ذَٰلِكَ هُمْ لَهَا عَامِلُونَ حَتَّى إِذَا أَخَذْنَا مُتْرَفِيهِمْ بِالْعَذَابِ إِذَا هُمْ يَجْأَرُونَ. Besides kufr, there's multiple other crimes. But the good did not go unrewarded, and that's the profound beauty of Islam. إِنَّا لَا نُضِيعُ أَجْرَ مَنْ أَحْسَنَ عَمَلًا. Allah says, if you do good, I don't grudge you for your wrong and forget your good. That's man to man. I reward you for your good, punish you for your wrong. How often don't we say when a relation is dissolved, which enjoyed a healthy 10 years or 20 years, at the point of departure, the most nasty things, the most unpleasant, the most unbecoming things, and all the good is destroyed. I unfortunately had the opportunity, I wouldn't call it an opportunity, but had to be present to witness many marriages being dissolved, annulled, fasakh, etc. It's the most bitter statement. It's the most bitter environment. And yet you picture these very couples a month ago or a year ago, we were sitting in the masjid and there was this electric atmosphere. There was this warm reception and greeting and recognizing. And this is my brother-in-law and this is Muhammad's father-in-law and this is Yusuf's uncle-in-law. This is Fatima's now future father-in-law. Oh, okay, so warm. And what happened to all these things? Everything destroyed because of the bitterness. Islam is that beautiful religion that despite all the evil of Abu Lahab, the good remained a good and it carried its benefit and rewards. Just on that note, I share with you another point, and this is mentioned in Ruhul Ma'ani with reference to Bahri Muhit. Samiri. Samiri was the man who initiated the worship of the calf. Now, his crime was serious, was horrendous. The man who initiated the worship of the calf in the absence of Musa alayhi salam. When Musa returned, he admonished his brother, Ya Harun, ma mana'aka idh ra'aytahum ballu alla tattabi'ani afa'asayta amri. Harun, but I had instructed you to maintain, you know, order and discipline. What's this chaos here? So he said, listen, my brother, hear me out. I tried to engage them, but it was becoming ugly, unpleasant, it was getting bitter. So I felt, rather, let me maintain unity, and hence I did not become physical. So Musa alayhi salam respected his sentiments, and then he left him. Then Musa alayhi salam called this person Samiri. The Quran refers to him as Samiri. The footnotes of Jalalain refer to him, his actual name was Musa. His actual name was also Musa, like Musa alayhi salam. And in there, the very famous couplets are written, إِذَا الْمَرْءُ لَمْ يُخْلَقْ سَعِيدًا مِنَ الْأَزَلِّ فَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ رَبَّى وَخَابَ الْمُؤَمِّلُ فَمُوسَى الَّذِي رَبَّاهُ جِبْرِيلُ كَافِرُ وَمُوسَى الَّذِي رَبَّاهُ فِرْعَوْنُ مُرْسَلُ. This is also some example and food for thought. This person was born the year that Pharaoh had instructed the killing of the children. His mother took this child whose name was Musa, Quran referred to him as Samiri, put him in the cave to protect his life. Allah sent Jibreel to nourish him, and this is mentioned in the footnotes of Jalalain, with reference to Sawi. Allah sent the angel Jibreel to nourish him and nurse him. And this very Musa who was nourished by Jibreel becomes the kafir. And Musa alayhi salam who was nourished by Fir'aun becomes the prophet. And that's what the poet said, إِذَا الْمَرْءُ لَمْ يُخْلَقْ سَعِيدًا مِنَ الْأَزَلِّ فَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ رَبَّى وَخَابَ الْمُؤَمِّلُ فَمُوسَى الَّذِي رَبَّاهُ جِبْرِيلُ كَافِرُ. The Musa nurtured by Jibreel becomes arrogant and infidel. وَمُوسَى الَّذِي رَبَّاهُ فِرْعَوْنُ مُرْسَلُ. And the Musa who lived in the palace of Pharaoh for 30 years becomes one of the greatest Ulul Azm Anbiya that time has ever seen. Musa alayhi salam calls him, قَالَ مَا خَتُبُكَ يَا سَامِرِ. Samiri, why you initiated the worship of the calf? And he was so arrogant that apart from forming this calf, he told the people, هَذَا إِلَهُكُمْ وَإِلَهُ مُوسَى فَنَسِي. This is your God. And even Musa had made a mistake. I don't know where he's gone to Mount Tur. He should come back. This is his God. Such was his arrogance. Musa alayhi salam was in rage and anger, and he wanted to kill him there. In Ruhul Ma'ani it is written, listen to me what I'm saying. Allah said, oh Musa, he is wicked. He has committed kufr. He's promoted kufr. But he's a generous man. Spare his life. He's a generous man. Spare his life. So he didn't have iman. Hence it would not avail him in akhirat. But his generosity brought him good in this world. Abu Lahab died as a kafir. Hence eternity in hell is the declaration of the Quran. But nonetheless you rejoice on the arrival of my Nabi. The good will come your way. The point I'm deducing is, my brother, I know my wrong, you know your wrong, my brother. And you know, if we go down each one, we can just cry and we know how evil it is. But if the urge of a good comes, don't neglect it or ignore it or discard it in proportion to your other evil. Perhaps on the basis of that good, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a favorable decision. Anyway, Halima Sa'diya radiallahu anha says, when the Master sallallahu alayhi wasallam was by me and I would suckle him. Now again you read this and you say, Halima, you know, we say a cute baby, we say a bouncing baby, we say an adorable baby, and often they grow up to become monsters also. You know. But he was so sweet, man. I think he's, you know, following his father's footsteps. Those are the comments people make. Halima, I cry with tears of joy when I think how you left my master. Halima, I go down emotional lane. I go down, what do I say? Where do I pluck up the courage? Where do I dig up the vocabulary? Where do I locate the sentiments? When she must have left the master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I gave you the reference. كُنْتُ أُعْتِيهِ أَثَّدْيَ الْأَيْمَنِ فَيَشْرَبُ مِنْهُ ثُمَّ أُحَوِّلُهُ إِلَى الثَّدْيِ الْأَيْسَرِ فَيَأْبَى أَنْ يَشْرَبَ مِنْهُ. Halima radiallahu anha said, I would left the master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the right side of my chest, and then he would drink the milk very calmly, very beautifully. And then occasionally I would turn him to the left side of my chest, but the master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would decline. He would refuse. I thought perhaps once, perhaps coincidence, you know, we say, no, burp him, his colleague and all those other things. So I tried on the left hand side, nothing doing. I give you the commentary that is mentioned in Khasais al-Kubra. قال بعضهم وذلك من عدله صلى الله عليه وسلم لأنه علم أن له شريكا في الرضاعة. The scholars write, this wasn't a coincidence. This was a message from the Master صلى الله عليه وسلم that while he was an infant, he displayed and was cognizant of the right of his foster brother. He said, I will not drink here, this is the share of my foster brother. How dare I devour or drink the right, the share of my brother, my foster brother. I'm saying my brother, when I said my Nabi was unique as a baby, I literally meant it. He displayed guidance as an infant while he was suckling. His message was, respect the right of the next one. He displayed recognition to the right of his foster brother. My appeal is respect your blood brother. Today we want to eat with two hands. The entire pie belongs to me. إِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرِ مَنُوعًا When good comes, he wants to embrace everything for himself. The Quran in a complaining tone says, وَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الْخُلَطَاءِ لَيَبْغِي بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ And indeed the average partner exploits. He thrives on the weakness of the other. He devours, he usurps, he abuses the relation. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ With the exception of those who have iman and righteous deeds. وَقَلِيلٌ مَا هُمْ And they are a handful. What did Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi say? إِذَا لَمْ يَزِدْ عِلْمُ الْفَتَى قَلْبَهُ هُدًى وسيرته عدلا وخلقه حسنا فبشره أن الله أولاه نقمة يساء بها مثل الذي عبد الوثنا Oh my word, that gives me a shiver in my whole body. He said, إذا لم يزد علم الفتى قلبه هدى When the acquisition of the sciences of Islam does not increase your heart in guidance. وسيرته عدلا And does not bring about justice in your character. وَخُلُقَهُ حَسَنًا And does not adorn and beautify your behavior. فَبَشِّرْهُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَوْلَاهُ النِّقْمَ Then tell him he is not acquiring the knowledge of deen. He, Allah has inflicted a torment upon him. If the acquisition of knowledge has not brought this transformation to your character, then that is a torment upon you. If returning from Umrah and Hajj has not brought this revolution in your life, then Imam Shafi says, consider that as a torment. يُسَاءُ بِهَا مِثْلَ الَّذِي عَبَدَ الْوَثَنَى I don't have the courage to translate this. The ayatul kareema I recited in the beginning is a verse of Surah Furqan. وَلَوْ شِئْنَا لَبَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ قَرْيَةٍ نَذِيرًا Allah said, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we want, we could have reduced your task and sent multiple prophets. But then if there's multiple prophets, the reward is divided. We want you to stand up on the day of Qiyamah alone with the rewards. Read Bayanul Quran's commentary. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we want, we could have sent multiple prophets in every locality. Reduce your responsibility. But then the credit of Abu Bakr goes to you and other prophets. Now you stand alone, whether it's Abu Bakr or Umar or Uthman or Ali. The credit goes to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith I quoted, and that speaks volumes, is the character of Nabi alayhi salam. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu is the narrator. Imam Muslim records it in his authentic compilation. He says, Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam idha salla al-ghadat. Whenever Nabi alayhi salam would perform the Fajr salah, ja'a khadamul madinati bi aniyatihim. The servants of Medina would come with their vessels and their containers fiha al-ma'u in which there was water. Fama ya'atuna bi ina'in illa ghamasa yadahu fiha. Every day the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would immerse his blessed hand into the vessel and the container. While that speaks volume on the blessed nature of the blessed fingers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it equally speaks volumes on the character, the patience, and the amazing nature of Nabi alayhi salam. Anas ibn Malik goes on to say, فَرُبَمَا جَاءَهُ بِالْغَدَاتِ الْبَارِدَةِ I would observe sometimes it would be the chill morning of Medina. The cold environment, when the atmosphere is cold, the environment is cold, the water is so much colder. The vessels and the utensils are so much colder. You would not see a frown on the forehead. You would not hear a moan or a groan. The master would religiously, diligently satisfy and appease everyone, thereby immersing his hand patiently till they were happy that sufficient barakat was transmitted into the water. I am saying, my brother, my master did it with the slaves of Medina. Can I not display that character within my own family circle, within my own working environment? And I'm going to touch here on a very sore nerve. And whatever Allah puts in my mind, I'm saying it. And I say it to empower myself. One of the areas in which we have failed miserably, and hear me out, and I'm saying this with a broad brush, I'm not targeting anyone, is that we have impressed many people, and we have put up an image. And many people who enjoy a degree of status, recognition in society globally. But when we speak to those who associate with those prominent personalities, we tend to get a stench. We tend to get a foul smell. So globally there's recognition. The man sits on the international stage. He has recognition across the globe. But when I get close to those associates, those who sit in a common office, those who work in a common environment, those that meet in an admin block, those that interact with the very giant that I honor, respect, revere, I'm afraid the perception that meets us is quite different to what we respect about the person. And this is where we have fallen. But the Master sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whether it was Hiraql in his empire that called Abu Sufyan, Abu Sufyan also had to conclude he was amazing. I read one narration in the Shamail. One person came to Abu Jahl and he said, Abu Jahl, it's Badr. Nobody is watching us. Talk heart to heart. Let's be honest. We're calling him a liar and imposter and everything. But tell me the truth. What's the opinion about the man? He said, the truth is, he's remarkable. He's never spoken a lie. He's amazing. This is mentioned in Nasruddin. He's amazing, I'm telling you. This is obviously propaganda, agenda, nasty, whatever it is. We're trying to promote our agenda into him. The Master sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as he had conquered those outside, equally left the humble Anas that worked under him for 10 years, equally impressed. So there wasn't contradicting sentiments coming from the battlefield to the house. There was one common message being echoed, unique, amazing, blemishless, impeccable, flawless. Whoever you speak to. Now you say, you know what, how's this person? Well, it depends who you speak to. How's this man? Depends who you speak to. So it depends who plays, who puts what coat in. Who puts what coat in? You are what you are, my brother. What the Arabic poet said? شَهِدَ الْأَنَامُ بِفَضْلِهِ حَتَّى الْعِدَى وَالْفَضْلُ مَا شَهِدَتْ بِهِ الْأَعْدَاءُ شَهِدَ الْأَنَامُ بِفَضْلِهِ. The whole world had to compare, had to acknowledge and concede that the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was unique. To the extent even his enemies in the end had to say, we hate him, but there's nobody more truthful than him. There's nobody more truthful than him. Tibrani's narration, Abu Umama narrates it, there was a woman who used to indulge in immoral speech. Anybody who came into contact with Nabi alayhi salam felt the warmness of Nur and Iman. She used to indulge in immoral speech. She passed by Nabi alayhi salam and she said, Allah tut'imuni, why don't you feed me? Nabi alayhi salam passed a morsel from his blessed food. Sahaba say, we used to be eating with Nabi alayhi salam, وَكُنَّا نَسْمَعُ تَسْبِيحَ الطَّعَامِ. And we used to hear the food making subhanallah on the plate of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You sit with me, brother, you hear my stomach making gurgur. That's all. Sahaba say, we used to hear the food praising Allah, glorifying Allah. And you must see what Jalaluddin Suyuti has written. He says, the food praising Allah is not a miracle of Nabi alayhi salam, because the Quran said, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. The Quran is emphatic that everything praises Allah. He said the miracle of Nabi alayhi salam is that the praise of the food became audible, that it was heard by the human. Hi, what these people go into, man. When they unpick and dissect and unpack, you can, the night is young. If only you have that passion and you grip that kitab and read the life of the master, hours and days will go and you'll just tear and say, Allah, what a perfect human you sent. If only I can imbibe and internalize his life. She gives, Nabi alayhi salam passes a morsel of food. The narration suggests, Tibrani, فَلَمْ يُعْلَمْ مِنْ تِلْكَ الْمَرْأَى الْأَمْرَ الَّذِي كَانَتْ عَلَيْهِ. They say after that one muscle, she became one of the most modest women of Medina till she died. One muscle from the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there was a revolution to this woman. There was an instant change in her life. What guidance he gave off. Whoever came into contact had to walk out impressed by his character. The Nabi of Allah was just not a present father. He was an equally present grandfather. Sometimes grandparents think their only duty is to play for the grandchildren, which is wonderful, it's meritorious. But Nabi alayhi salam was an active grandfather. Ibn Asakir's narration, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says, I am walking with Nabi alayhi salam. فَسَمِعَ صَوْتَ الْحَسَنِ وَالْحُسَيْنِ يَبْكِيَانِ. He heard Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma crying. فَأَسْرَعَ السَّيْرِ. He hastened his pace. He returned home. وَهُمَا مَعَ أُمِّهِمَا. And they both were with their mother Fatima radiallahu anha. He walked in disturbed, perturbed. Fatima, مَا شَأْنُ إِبْنِي. Why are the little ones crying? What's happening? She said, Al-Atash Ya Rasulullah, O Nabi of Allah, your daughter and your grandchildren have been thirsty. Nothing to drink. There's nothing to drink. And when she said nothing, she literally meant there was nothing. What emotions must have crossed the heart of that Nabi? My child walks in arrogantly, opens the fridge, gets into the microwave, takes something from the freezer, there's nothing for me to eat. It's pride, it's arrogance, everything is there. Nabi alayhi salam said, okay my baby, okay my daughter, now wilini ahadahuma. Pass me one of the children. So she passes one of the children, تحت الخدر, beneath the curtain. Abu Huraira said, I'm looking. فَأَدْلَعَ لَهُ لِسَانَهُ. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then put his blessed tongue in the mouth of Hassan. And I'm green with envy. You know, you put a pacifier in your child's mouth. Sometimes nowadays I think they need pacifiers for adults also. When she goes on a tangent or he goes on a tantrum, my wife, they've just invented something for you. Maybe it will be in your good interest. You put a pacifier, Hassan had the saliva of my Nabi. Hassan had the saliva of my Nabi. فَأَدْلَعَ لَهُ لِسَانَهُ وَجَعَلَ يَمُسُّهُ. Abu Huraira says, and he's just sucking on to the blessed tongue of Nabi alayhi salam. حَتَّى هَدَأَ. And then he puts him off. You know, the woman normally, they take the children and then they sing their songs and whatever it is, and they pacify the child. Then Nabi alayhi salam said, نَاوِلِينِ al-akhar. Fatima, slip me the other one. So she says, I slipped Hussein radiallahu anhu. My master then helped him, held him, embraced him, cuddled him, put his blessed tongue. Imagine that blessed tongue. The finger split the moon. What that tongue must have had in it. The finger split the moon. What that tongue had, I don't have words. So she says, I put my, Nabi alayhi salam put his tongue. He entertained them. Hatta hada'a fama asma'u lahuma buka'un. They slept so peacefully and they had a peaceful night. I'm saying, look at how active, how committed, how present the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. Another very amazing thing of Nabi alayhi salam's life was, in everything, he was a very, very considerate human. Now unfortunately, you know, today, like someone says, common sense is no longer common also. There are basic norms that we need to understand. Let's look at the hadith of Bukhari. Nabi alayhi salam says, I'm performing salah. فَأَسْمَعُ بُكَاءَ السَّبِيِّ. I would hear a child crying, فَأَتَجَوَّزُ فِي صَلَاتِي. I would then wrap up my salah briefly, accommodating the restlessness of that child and the uneasiness of the mother. What did Nabi alayhi salam in salah, engaged in salah, where we know what was the relation he enjoyed, but when I would hear a child crying, I would respect the sentiments of that child, be cognizant of the emotions of that mother, فَأَتَجَوَّزُ فِي صَلَاتِي. Aisha radiallahu anha said he would enter the house, دَخَلَ رُوَيْدًا إِنْتَعَلَ رُوَيْدًا. He would remove his shoes gently. He would open the door in a very gentle way. He would make a salam in a manner that those that were awake heard it, those that were sleeping did not hear it. Today we walk in loud, Assalamu alaikum. I'm sleeping. My brother, salam. Astaghfirullah. You don't want to even make salam. Inna. That what our ummah is going through. Now those are the times we want to advocate nobility, piety, and you know, holier than thou attitude. My Aisha radiallahu anha said, he would slip with me into the bed, not deny me my moment of seclusion. Talk to me, like often, and I often say it to my wife, and she'll bear me out on this here. Generally, it's a tedious day, it's a long day, there are multiple tasks, and to catch up with the events of the day, it's the time when you retire to bed together. You know what, I was here, this is what happened, I met so and so, this one phoned, this one emailed. So you catch up, provided you're transparent, because nowadays there's a lot of things you don't want to say also. So that's another problem. And that obviously lends itself into other incorrect things that exist in the relation. So it's a good moment to catch up with the events of the day, and then obviously, have some quality time together. Aisha radiallahu anha said, I salute the Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He would slip into the bed, talk to me, be with me. Although he wants to spend the night in Ibadat, he would wait, and then when he would be convinced, I have fallen off to sleep, then he will gradually sneak out. So one side he wants to spend the night in Ibadat, but then he's not oblivious of my obligation. When my master does not ignore the right of his wife because he wants to spend the night in Salah, how do you find justification to deny your wife that seclusion? Because you're playing pool? Because you're busy doing some other activity, some other entertainment, because you're watching some other match? My master wants to devote his night in Salah. As the Quran said, قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا نِصْفَهُ أَوِنْ قُسِ. If you look at these words, how Allah, engage Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi, make it half a night, make it two-thirds, make it one-third, make it apportioned. Allahu Akbar. What an intimate dialogue and discussion that goes on. The narration of Dari Qutni, I will share the just to appreciate the authenticity. Dari Qutni says, حَدَّثَنَا مُحَمَّدُ بْنُ سُلَيْمَانَ الْبَاهِلِي قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا مُحَمَّدُ بْنُ حَسَّانَ الْأَمَوِي قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا عَبْدَةُ بْنُ سُلَيْمَانَ عَنْ هِشَامَ عَنْ عُرْوَةَ عَنْ عَيْشَةَ عَنْ أَبِيهِ قَالَتْ قُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِنِّي أَرَاكَ تَدْخُلُ الْخَلَى ثُمَّ يَجِيءُ الَّذِي بَعْدَكَ فَلَا يَرَى لِمَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْكَ أَثَرًا. One of Allah, amazing, you go and relieve yourself. Then often I go to the very location to relieve myself. I don't find a speck of anything dirt, or I don't find anything left in that environment. It's spick and span, it's clean, yet I instantly use the facility immediately after you. How is this possible? O Nabi of Allah, you relieve yourself, ثُمَّ يَجِيءُ الَّذِي بَعْدَكَ, then somebody else comes, فَلَا يَرَى لِمَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْكَ أَثْرًا. There's no trace that you have relieved yourself. Now, us, the trace is quite far. You know what? I think there's toilet somewhere close by. Nabi alayhi salam said, أَمَا عَلِمْتِ أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَ الْأَرْضَ أَن تَبْتَلِعَ مَا خَرَجَ مِنَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. قَالَ هَذَا سَنَدٌ ثَابِتٌ, محمد بن حسان ثقة صالح, وعبدة بن سليمان من رجال الشيخين. That's an academic debate to appreciate the authenticity of the narration. Nabi alayhi salam said, Aisha, I thought you know this. This is the decree of Allah with all the prophets. Whatever they pass from their body, urine, stool or anything, Allah has instructed the earth to instantly follow it. Allah has instructed the earth. My brothers, yours divinely is not going to be swallowed, but there is obviously a cistern and a chain there if you can make use of it. On the reverse, maybe the earth will flush it out. The earth flushed out the body of Fir'aun. فَالْيَوْمَ نُنَجِّيكَ بِبَدَنِكَ لِتَكُونَ لِمَنْ خَلْفَكَ آيَانَ. فَالْيَوْمَ نُنَجِّيكَ بِبَدَنِكَ لِتَكُونَ لِمَنْ خَلْفَكَ آيَانَ. When they put him in the water flung him out. Man, don't contaminate him, me. Look for something else. They put him in the earth threw him out. Look for something else. We're better off without him. I'm saying, be cognizant of those. How often people abuse the facility and a person's got a habit of smoking, Allah guide and reform one and all. He obviously leaves about this foul smell. Day after you use the facility. Now when you're walking out, the guy that walks in afterwards, he looks at you, but my brother, now how many people do I say that, you know what, it was a gentleman before me. The Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accommodated. Understand my brother, you're just not the only human that inhabits earth. They are fellow humans and they are fellow creatures. Nabi alayhi salam said, don't urinate in the ant hole. He didn't only say respect fellow humans. Today you want to teach us about civilization and human rights and animal rights, and you want to have this campaign and that campaign. Nabi alayhi salam said, don't urinate in an ant hole. A poor ant will think it's floods, man. And the water is quite hot. He said, do not use the bone for istinja. فَإِنَّمَا هِيَ زَادُ إِخْوَانِكُمْ مِنَ الْجِنِ. On that bone, Allah creates food for your jinn, brothers. So respect the others that coexist, that equally inhabit the planet like you. Respect. I'm saying the message is from the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Learn to respect and accommodate the others that also inhabit the earth. Now another very important thing, and these are different lessons that we need to deduce, was that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is in the Shamail al-Tirmidhi as well, كَانَ يَقْبَلُ عُذْرَ الْمُعْتَذِرِ. Nabi alayhi salam was a person who accepted the apologies of those who apologized. He wasn't proud, he wasn't arrogant, he wasn't obstinate, and don't forget, the most hideous of crimes were perpetrated against him. Nobody has offended us as much as the disbelievers had offended him. But unconditionally, in one word, I have pardoned you, he could wrap up the chapter and close the chapter and move on with life and say, it's gone, forgotten, and it's over. They say, woman will forgive and forget. Woman forgive and forget. But they'll never let you forget that she forgave. Woman will forgive and forget. But she will never let you forget that she forgave. Anyway, you know, before it gets a bit too one-sided, at least she forgives. We don't even maybe. I need to score both sides, brothers. The Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is on the journey of hijrat. Allahu Akbar. وَإِذْ فَشَلْ إِسْلَامُ بِالْمَدِينَةِ هَاجَرَ فِيهَا مَنْ يَحْفَدُ دِينَ وَعَزَمَ الصِّدِّيقُ أَنْ يُهَاجِرَ فَرَدَّهُ النَّبِيُّ حَتَّى هَاجَرَ مَعًا إِلَيْهَا فَتَرَافَقَا إِلَى غَارِ ثَوْرٍ وَمَعَهُمَا عَامِرٌ مَوْلَى الصَّدِيقِ وَابْنَ أَرِيقَةٍ دَلِيلٌ لِلطَّرِيقِ فَأَخَذُوا نَحْوَ طَرِيقِ الصَّاحِلِ وَالْحَقُّ لِلْعَدُوِّ خَيْرُ شَاغِلِ تَبِعَهُمْ صُرَاقَةُ بْنُ مَالِكٍ يُرِيدُ فَتْكًا وَهُوَ غَيْرُ فَاتِكِ. Nabi alayhi salam decides to migrate to Medina, and Abu Bakr is with him. These are the couplets in Sirat Mustafa. With him is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. With him is Amir ibn Fuhayra, who is the slave of Abu Bakr, and Abdullah ibn Ariqat, who was the guide on the road. The disbelievers had offered the 100 camel reward. If you can nab the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you can apprehend him, intercept him, dead or alive, walk away with 100 camels. Suraqa ibn Ju'sham ibn Malik says, I was tempted. When I heard this, I said, I mean, you know what, if I can secure this, I've taken care of, you know, so many years of my family and my livelihood. So I said, I'm going to pursue, but I need to camouflage this guys and put my act together. I was sitting there, Nabi alayhi salam had left. Someone came and said, you know what, I've seen some horsemen advancing in the distance. I think that's the Quraysh gentleman, and let's pursue them and try and intercept them. So I intervened and I said, no, it cannot be them. I think you got your facts muddled up. It's not them. And the whole reason is I didn't want them to pursue because I wanted the 100 camels. So that's why I did it. Now how often this doesn't happen? A person phones you, you know what, you're in the street, yeah, I got a container to clear. What? Hey, don't touch it, you'll burn your hands. That man, keep away from him. You drop the call, hey, assalamu alaikum, I heard you got a container, you didn't tell me? You know I'm here, man. Come on, man. Yeah, listen. Anytime you come to me first, right? Correct? We'll sort it off. Yeah. Let me know. My brother. That's your blood brother. My Nabi said when he comes and asks you, that's a trust. That's an amana. You have to be diligent. You have to be honest. You have to be faithful. You have to be loyal. You cannot violate the trust of your brother. Anyway, I told my slave girl, take my horse and take it beneath this tree at a distance. I got hold of my sword. I sneaked out. I didn't want to make a big noise about it because I wanted to come back with the 100 camels myself. Anyway, I got onto my horse and I put chase. وَيَجْتَهِدُ صُرَاقَةُ لِيَلْحَقَ بِالرَّكْبِ. Now this is what I tell you, my brother, and listen to the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَحُولُ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ ذَلِكَ. He says, I get on, I'm trotting, I'm galloping, I'm advancing. The Master looks back and the earth splits. And the legs start sinking down. I realize that now I'm obviously in a problem. So I apologize. I say, oh Muhammad, wa yastaghif. I call out for help. Look at the kindness of Nabi alayhi salam. Yastajib. He responds. He replies. He said, oh Muhammad, this is apparent that this is as a result of your curse. Could you revoke your curse and perhaps free me of this crisis in which I am? Nabi sallam said, I have forgiven you and I have excused you. He said, I decided now, you know what, my life is at risk. Never mind the 100 camels, just one horse will go. And that's what's happening. You're going for tatam a million, you're losing your 2 rand. If you read the paper 2 weeks ago, supposedly a man from one of the rural areas was going to walk away with some 90 million, and then you hype up his sentiments, you elevate him to this level, and then, the numbers don't synchronize. The numbers don't synchronize, and you take him up, and you put him in the front, you hype him up, you thrill him up, you give him this boost that, you know what, everything is done, and then, there's a mistake, actually, it's not your figures and not your numbers. So leave the 100 camels, you will lose the one horse. But then he said, you know what? I said, but 100 camels, man, 100 camels. Well, winners know when to stop. I said, let me go again. So I got on again. That's what's happening to the brother. My brother, you burnt your hands with interest. How many times more do you want to burn? You want to burn your whole family? You want to lose your children? You want to be swallowed? Allah took you out of this hole. You've seen the misery. You've seen the discord. You've seen the unpleasantness. You've seen the hiccups. You've seen the bickering it brought. You still go back that same road? لا يلدغ المؤمن من جحر واحد مرتين. My Nabi said, it does not behold the dignity of a believer that when he's bitten once, he goes there again. Once bitten, twice shy. My Nabi said, when a believer is bitten once, he learns his lesson for life. He learns his lesson for life. Anyway, Suraqa said, I strap up again and I go. I said, no man, let me try. I go again, the Nabi looks and the earth splits and I start going sinking down. I apologize. Every time I apologize, the clemency of a Nabi, he accepts my apology and pardons me without admonishing me for the previous wrong. I mean, what do I say? Someone came to the illustrious scholar, Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali, and he said, how many times should I overlook the mistakes of my employee? He said, as many times as you would want Allah to overlook your mistakes. How many times should I be, as much as you want Allah to be tolerant, that is how much you must display tolerance. He said, the third time I strapped up, I said, my last time. I said, let me go. And again, the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam glances, the earth split. I realize now it's done deal. Now I'm really getting myself deeper and deeper into this situation. I said, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I sincerely apologize and I would like to come and speak to you. Nabi alayhi sallam allowed him to come forward. As he comes forward, he then expresses his iman, submission, and he accepts the faith. And then he offers Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam some food, have some drinks with me because I was coming alone, ace out. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no, we're fine, we're taken care of. He then asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, could you write for me, you know, in some leather piece that you have, that you've given me amnesty and that you will not hold this against me. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told Amir ibn Fuhayra, who was the scribe and was part of the companions, grip a piece of leather and just write out that we acknowledge him, we've pardoned him, and we've closed the chapter, it's over. He writes this, this was communicated. Nabi alayhi salam said, now you do me a favor, لا تتركن أحدا يلحق بنا. You just make sure that nobody comes close to us and don't divulge our whereabouts to anyone. And this is what scholars write, كان أول النهار جاهدا على رسول الله وآخر النهار حارسا على رسول الله. In the beginning of a day, he walks in as a spy, but the master converts his spy into his bodyguard. The master converts his spy into his bodyguard. His enemy into his devout companion. In the morning he's trying to apprehend him. In the evening he's warding off any other attacks. And he says, move on folks. Why? The case is done, you won't able to get close. Nabi alayhi salam said, listen Suraqa, the tale is much long. I don't have time to discuss, but listen to me properly. كَيْفَ بِكَ إِذَا لَبِسْتَ سِوَارَ كِسْرَ إِبْنِ هُرْمُوزِ. You know what, I'm going to Medina, you go back to Makkah. Islam will spread across the Arabian Peninsula. Islam will go far and wide. Rome and Persia will be conquered. The bracelet of the ruler of that time will come into the spoils of the Muslim, into the spoils of the Muslims. And when this spoils will be distributed, you will be present at that time. You will be called forward and that bracelet will be put on your hands. Then you want to marvel at the predictions of Nostradamus. When your Nabi spelled it out. And obviously this happened, I don't have time to go in this. It happened during the reign of Umar ibn Khattab. قل للمخلفين من الأعراب ستدعون إلى قوم أولي بأس شديد تقاتلونهم أو يسلمون فإن تطيعوا يؤتكم الله أجرا حسنا. This conquering happened during the reign of Umar according to one view. This incident of Persia and Rome that was conquered during the reign of Umar رضي الله عنه, and these verses indicated. Hence this verse is a subtle indication to the legitimacy of the Khilafat of Umar radiallahu anhu as well. And when the spoils of the war was brought in, Umar radiallahu anhu teared. It was during his reign. He said, Suraqa, you remember the night of Hijrat. You remember when you wanted to apprehend the master and you came close and you were melted by his clemency. You accepted the faith and he told you a time will come, this bracelet will come on your hand. Give me your hand, and he put the bracelet on. And he said, say takbir, Allahu Akbar, alhamdulillahi alladhi salabahuma min Kisra ibn Hurmuz wa albasahuma suraqat al-a'rabi. Allah snatched it from the hand of the king and put it on the hand of an ordinary suraqa, spot on as the master prophesized it. Suraqa comes back to Mecca. He calls Abu Jahl. He said, Aba Jahlin, wallahi law kunta shahida li amri jawadi idh tasukhu qawaimu. Alimta wa lam tushakkik bi anna Muhammadan rasulun bi burhanin. Faman dha yuqawimu. Alayka bi kaffil qawmi. Alayka bi kaffil qawmi anhu. Fa'inni ara amrahu yawman satabdu ma'alimu. Abu Jahl, I know, I'm together, and we've been in the forefront of the anti-Islamic campaign. But I got close to the man. I seen him one-on-one. I promise you, the tale is very different. When I got close, and I was about to strike, and I came, you know, in close proximity, and just then the earth split, and the legs of my horse started sinking down, and a mere glance from this Nabi melted me. I accepted my faith. I invite you, Abu Jahl, lest you regret on the day of Qiyamah. I invite you, Abu Jahl, lest you regret. Join me, I have embraced the faith. I am saying, now listen to this, your Nabi alayhi salam is going for Hijrat. This is not a dedicated travel of inviting people. This is a very أخذوا نحو طريق الساحل. They took the coastal road. So at this time, the agenda is not to invite, but whoever comes into contact is just invited. I'm saying, my brother, exhibit his character. Exhibit his impeccable character. Even if you're going to China for business, or you're going to Paris for holiday, or Dubai for shopping, displaying his character, it has a natural attraction. It has a scent by itself. Suraqa is accepted, he accepts Islam. They go a little forward, Buraida Aslami comes. The narration of Dalailun Nubuwa. Buraida Aslami comes with an army of 70 people. All would-be assassins. What's the agenda to assassinate Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? They come close. Now Nabi alayhi salam had a great sense of humor, and he often would deduce noble meanings from pleasant situations. In Islam, there's no room for bad omens or bad luck. La shu'mata fil Islam, the hadith is very explicit. However, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would often make positive interpretations. So if a person's name was Suhail, which is derived from the word sahal, one is Suhail means a star. Suhail is also derived from the word sahal, which means ease. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, oh, Suhail came, then the matter is easy. So this is common in the hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make these noble deductions. Anyway, this Buraida comes with a dedicated agenda to assassinate. Nabi alayhi salam engages him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, who are you? He says, I am Buraida. Buraida is derived from the word Barada. Barada in Arabic means to be cool, to be calm. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa looked at Abu Bakr and he said, Baruda amruna wa saluha. If he's Buraida, then our matter is cool and calm. We chill and relax. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa, now you're talking to who? I mean, if you intercept a person who's committed treason and who intends or allegedly intended to kill the head of state, we know if that plan is foiled and intercepted, can you imagine the police contingency around it? You know what, such a hardcore criminal, and he has to meet the full might of the, you know, the full wrath of the law and all the bureaucracy that will come with it and all the formalities. Nabi alayhi salam is having a one-on-one discussion with 70 would-be assassins. Why? Because Allah said, Ya ayyuha ar-rasul, balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbik, wa in lam taf'al fama ballaghta risalata, wallahu ya'asimuka min al-nas. Oh Muhammad, you walk freely. Nobody will dare touch you. When this verse was revealed, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then freed all the sahaba of all formal duties of bodyguards. Allah revealed the verse, I mean his care. You guys can move away. You're more than welcome to be part of the crew, but care is divinely. Now you don't want to know how much they pay just for the entourage and how much money is going in, you know what, supposedly for protection and the rest of it. Anyway, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, which tribe you belong to? He said, Aslam. Aslam in Arabic means one who submits, one who complies. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at Abu Bakr and he said, Salimna. Abu Bakr, we safe and sound. They're from Aslam, so there's nothing to bother about. Things are getting more relaxed. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, which branch of the tribe? He said, Mim Bani Sahmin. If you knew Arabic, then you would have appreciated it, because now I'm translating it to get to the actual joy of the quotation and the dialogue. So Sahm in Arabic could mean share or could mean arrow. So when he said this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Kharaja Sahmuk, then your share in Islam is also confirmed. He melted, he smiled, he looked at his 70 companions, he came forward, he hugged the master, he read Kalima there and there. I'm saying this is the journey of Hijrat. Dalailun Nubuwa. Read the narration. Akhrajahu al-Bayhaqi fi Dalailin Nubuwa. He's going. This is not an announced visit. It's a secret visit. It's a disguise visit. Whoever is coming with nasty agendas have been swallowed in. Then he asked Nabi alayhi salam, O Nabi of Allah, can we be part of the convoy as you make the grand presence into Medina? Nabi sallallahu alayhi said, you're more than welcome. The would-be assassins are part of the golden entourage. Oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, what a Nabi. What did my Nabi say? Addabani Rabbi fa ahsana ta'deedi. My Allah perfected me and He left nothing short in molding me to the level of perfection. He left nothing short. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. Then anyway, he said, O Nabi of Allah, just a suggestion. You know, we're coming into Medina. There's obviously a presence and they're anticipating us. Would it not be great if we just create a bit of a flag? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that's fine. He said, how about your blessed turban and my spear? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that's a great combination. The master takes out his turban, puts it on his would-be assassin's spear. And Buraida says, I hold the flag. And in we come into Medina. One of the disbelievers stood on the hills of Medina. He said, Ya Bani Qila, Ya Bani Qila, Hada Jaddukum. Come, come, the man whom the entire Yathrib anticipated. Here he walks into Medina. Abu Bakr on the right and these 70 people around. And this grand presence happens into Medina. One other incident I just want to mention and shortly try and wrap up, inshallah. On the journey of Hijrat as well, Nabi alayhi salam comes to Ma'bad radiallahu anha. Ma'bad appears in the Shama'il Tirmidhi and in the other narrations in the description of the feature of Nabi alayhi salam. There was no food, there was no drink. So Nabi alayhi salam knocked on and Ma'bad was there, her husband Abu Ma'bad was out. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, is there any milk that you could spare us, any food? فَلَمْ يُسِيبُ عِنْدَهَا شَيْءٍ. Nothing was found. Nabi alayhi salam looked at one goat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this goat, you know, away from the entire herd and away from the entire flock. So Ma'bad said, خَلَّفَهَا الْجُهْدُ. She's very frail and weak, and that's why she's been left behind by the entire flock. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَبِهَا مِنْ لَبَنِنْ. Can I milk the goat? So she answered, هِيَ أَجْهَدُ مِنْ ذَلِكْ. The animal is on the verge of death. I don't know where you're going to get milk. إِنْ رَأَيْتَ بِهَا لَبَنًا فَحْلِبْهَا. But try your luck. If you think you can get any milk out of it and you know how to do it, good luck, go for it. Nabi alayhi sallam said, that's fine, I just needed your consent. He sat down the narration of Siraj al-Mustafa as well as Khasais al-Kubra. He read Bismillah and then he gently just stroked the udder. And the milk started just brimming and just coming out. Nabi alayhi sallam said, can you get me a vessel quickly? So container was brought, the entire milk, the entire container was filled up. She was like blown off. Nabi alayhi sallam said, Ma'bad, settle down, calm down, you drink first. Drink first, relax, have first. Nabi sallam gave her, she drank to her brim. Nabi sallam passed it around, told Abu Bakr, Abdullah ibn Ariqat, and Amir ibn Fuhayra, who were part as well, you people all have. Then Nabi alayhi sallam said, do me a favor, get me another container, I will fill up another container for you as well. So that it is there for you as well. Look at the kindness of Nabi alayhi sallam. The miracle was on him, he could do it, saturate himself and move on. But he said, let me leave for them sufficient that covers them as well. Let me leave for them sufficient that covers them as well. Nabi alayhi sallam took another vessel, filled it up and gave it to them. And then he excused himself. They were saturated, they leave, Abu Ma'bad comes back. He's like, wow. Subhanallah, imagine you leave your wife with 500 and you come back in this 5,000. Now it's the other way around, you know. And how dare you ask where it went. You leave it high and dry and here this container full of milk. And the goat is running and jumping. So Abu Ma'bad says, my wife? And when and how and who and what? Ja'a rajulun mubarakun. Ja'a rajulun mubarakun. An amazing man came. You know what? This is his height. This is his complexion. Fi unuqihi sat'un, slightly tall. Fi lihyatihi kathasa, a dense beard. Huluul mantiq, sweet in his speech. Profound in his character. Sublime in his mannerism. He would gently stroke it and it filled up. Abu Ma'bad said, I am convinced this is that man of Quraysh. This is the man of Quraysh. They both come forward and they embrace the faith. They both come forward and they embrace the faith. Nabi alayhi salam and Abu Bakr barely leave the house, and this is mentioned in all the books of Sirat. There is this unseen voice that reads out these couplets. Jazallahu Rabbun Nasi Khayra Jazaihi. Jazallahu Rabbun Nasi Khayra Jazaihi. Khalilaini Halla you, Abu Bakr, 5 minutes are the 5 minutes of my life. That is why when somebody came and told Umar, read the narration of Hayatul Sahaba, Anta khayrun min Abi Bakr. Umar, I must tell you, one on one. Now we have these people that like to, you know what, throw sparks and like to fuel antagonism and to create skirmishes and to just hype up things. So one person came to Umar and he said, Umar, on a quiet, I need to have a one-on-one word with you. No problem. Umar, you know what, everybody is raving about Abu Bakr, all said and done, but honestly, according to me, you are far greater than Abu Bakr. Now we often get these sentiments. So what do we say? Talk louder. Do me a favor, the next time we meet, right, I'm going to just touch the topic, you bring it up again in a style. What did Umar say? Wallahi la laylatum min Abi Bakr. Wallahi la laylatum min Abi Bakr wa yawm khayrun min Umar wa Ali Umar. How dare you provoke antagonism and divide the Summa? The night of Hijrat where Abu Bakr accompanied the Master, that is on one side of the scale. Umar and his progeny till Qiyamah cannot match that one night of Abu Bakr. Umar and his progeny till Qiyamah. لا يستوي منكم من أنفق من قبل الفتح وقاتل أولئك أعظم درجة من الذين أنفقوا من بعد وقاتلوا. Those who responded in the early hours and those who came afterwards, they both could be called Sahaba, but you can't put them on one level of the scale. Quran said, create a distinction. They are two separate people. The poet goes on to say, it is unseen. He said, lucky was Ma'bad. Luck came her way, Allah's Nabi stopped at her house, nobody else. Then the poet in this couplet, which was unseen. And then Hassan ibn Thabit added to those couplets. I will run into hours and I don't want to go into this here. The poet says it so amazingly. He said, if you don't know what I said, go to the tent of Ma'bad and go and ask Ma'bad, tell me the tale of that blessed man. But then he goes on to say, if you go to the tent and Ma'bad is not there, then you can just as well ask the goat. The goat will narrate it. Oh my word. Salu ukhtakum an shatiha wa ina'iha. Fa'innakum in tas'alu shata tashhadi. If Ma'bad is not there, you know what, if the father is not there, speak to the son. If the son is not there, speak to the worker. She says, if Ma'bad is, the poet says, if Ma'bad is not there, the goat is there. The narration goes on. Khasais al-Kubra, page 311. Ma'bad said, we were counting the minutes, if not the seconds of this goat. We said, it's going any time. The others left it. By Allah, it lived the longest and outlived all the goats. By Allah, it outlived all the goats. Till came the time of drought. Imagine if a Nabi touches a goat, it becomes like this. If you touch the life of Muhammad, my brother, what would happen to your destiny? Pride yourself with his character. Revive his teachings. Shun his disobedience. Embrace his noble life. And stand up as ambassadors of this proud deen, of this beautiful deen. She said, the time of drought and famine came. There wasn't grass, there wasn't water. People came to my house. The only goat that gave milk was this goat that Nabi alayhi salam touched and stroked while he was alive. Kunna nahlibuha sabuhan wa ghabuqa wa ma fil ardi qaleelun wala kathir. You wouldn't get a sip of milk, and we were drawing gallons and buckets. We were drawing gallons and buckets. And what was it? Once the Nabi of Allah touched it. I've taken much time, my brothers. I'm saying this is the profound life of Nabi alayhi salam, whom Allah had molded to perfection. Hasunat jami'u khifalihi. I want to end on a note that is a bit emotional, but this is how I had thought that I would wrap up. And that was the sad demise of Nabi alayhi salam. And again, a point of reflection. There's so many wake-up calls. There's barely a day that goes by and there's some tragedy. Someone is diagnosed with a cancer, with a tumor, there is a tragic incident, there's an accident, there is a catastrophe, there is an earthquake, there's a... You know, you just want to get into a relaxing mode to say party and indulge, and your hard-hitting comes breaking news again, or on the local front, on the domestic front, within your family structure, there's something happened, someone got admitted, some tragedy. So the wake-up calls are so many. I'll wrap up on this hadith, inshallah. Bukhari, Aisha radiallahu anha said, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam returned from Jannatul Baqi from a janazah. It was late night, he came home. فَوَجَدَنِي أَجِدُ سُدَاعًا. I had a headache, and he came home. So I was just, you know, holding my head, and I'm saying, wa ra'asa, what a headache, what a headache. So Nabi alayhi salam said, Aisha, you think you have a headache? Well, ana wa ra'asa, I have a splitting headache. I have a really, really severe headache. And then lighthearted, they got chatting. And I think this is a common discussion, I know, you know, between yourself and my wife, and perhaps many couples can relate to this, who will go first, you know. And the woman are commonly, I'll go then. Finally, you get married to the woman you wanted. So the discussion went in that direction. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam told Aisha, Aisha radiallahu anha said, but what if I pass away? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Aisha, if you pass away, you have a great consolation. Allah's Nabi will give you ghusl. Allah's Nabi will give you kafan. Allah's Nabi will see you lowered into the grave. Ghassaltuki, kafantuki, sallaytu alayki, wawaraytuki, wadafantuki. What an honor for you. I will be there. You are my partner, my spouse. I will pride myself and do it. Now, you know, there are certain things of a woman that is the nature, and you're not going to change this, and you can't work around this. It's foolish on our part that we try and change it. So Aisha radiallahu anha said, and then what you'll do? Nabi also said, so passionately I'm saying, I'll take care of you, I will hold you, do everything and lower you. My wife will be laughing because I read the hadith and I'm calling. I said, like, you know, look at this hadith. I mean, we marvel at Aisha, we salute her, we respect her, we honor her, we elevate her, we have utmost regard for her, she is our mother. And read hadith, what did Abu Musa Ash'ari say? Mashtakala alayna ashabu Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shay'an illa sa'alna Aisha. Abu Musa Ash'ari said, we the companions, when we face complexity in understanding and resolving hadith, we used to knock the door of Aisha. My sister, understand what a proud, what a great legacy Aisha has left behind, radiallahu anha. That leave alone the females, the males used to knock her door for guidance and advice. She said, O Nabi of Allah, wallahi la raja'ta ila bayti wa ta'arrafta bi ba'di nisa'ik. Can I tell you what you'll do? Nabi Sassam said, yeah, I got a headache. Aisha, talk. What's this? You'll come straight home, call one of your other wives and get intimate in my house. Now, I mean, look at Nabi alayhi salam's calmness and composure. And it can only be the broadness of the shoulder of a Nabi. It can only be the broadness of the shoulder of a Nabi. Nabi alayhi salam, Aisha, I'm sick. Aisha, I just came from a janaza. No. فَتَبَسَّمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. My Nabi only answered this provocation with respect by a smile. Nothing else. He smiled. He knew these were emotions. And they had to run their course. They had to run their course. He didn't intervene. But the hadith says, ثُمَّ بُدِئَ بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ. And that was the point where the fatal illness formally commenced. There are dedicated kitabs that only speak on the illness. How many days, what? But this was the point where the fatal illness started. And I bring you to one narration. Jibreel comes down and he says, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَرْسَلَنِي إِلَيْكَ تَكْرِيمًا لَكَ وَتَشْرِيفًا خَصَّةً لَكَ. Allah has sent me to you, specially for you, to find out how you're doing. Nabi alayhi salam said, Jibreel, I'm not doing well. Ajiduni makruban, mahzoonan, I'm sad, I'm depressed, I'm concerned, my health is not good. Jibreel goes away, the next day he comes back. O Nabi of Allah, Allah has sent me again just to find out how's your health, how you doing. Nabi alayhi salam said, Jibreel, I'm not doing well. Nabi alayhi salam is the only person from all the Anbiya who had seen Jibreel in his original form twice. This is mentioned in the footnotes of Tafsir Uthmani under Surah Najm. ثُمَّ دَنَا فَتَدَلَّى فَكَانَ قَابَ قَوْسَيْنِ أَوْ أَدْنَى. No other Nabi has ever seen Jibreel in his original form. Only Nabi alayhi salam, and twice. Once after the revelation of Surah Iqra, before the revelation of Muddathir, and one in the night of Mi'raj at Sidratul Muntaha. Same answer. The third day Jibreel comes, and he comes with a heavy presence of angels. There is an angel by the name of Ismail, there is Malakul Maut, and there are thousands of angels. Jibreel comes in again, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how are you feeling? Nabi alayhi sallam said, I am not well, and my condition is pretty much as it was.
Jibreel said, "Oh, Nabi of Allah, we've got some visitors with us here today, and among them is Malakul Maut. He's asking your permission if you allow for him to come in. I must add, O Nabi of Allah, مَسْتَأْذَنَ عَلَىٰ أَدْمِيٍّ قَبْلَكَ وَلَا يَسْتَأْذِنُ عَلَىٰ أَدْمِيٍّ بَعْدَكَ." He never asks permission. He comes barging and does what he has to. You're the only person in the entire human history where Malakul Maut asks your permission. If you consent, O Nabi of Allah, he will very gracefully make his humble presence. If you decline, he will respect your choice and return. Nabi alayhi salam said, "Jibreel," Nabi starts to motion him and to usher him in. He politely walks in. The angel Ismail is there, who's in charge of the malaika of the first heavens. In Mazahir Haq Jadid, the whole commentary of the hadith is given. He walks in, there is a presence of malaika, Jibreel is there, Malakul Maut is there. Jibreel then tells Malakul Maut, "You know what? You can now obviously start the discussion. What do I say? What do I say? You know, just one point in this discussion. When Aisha radiallahu anha was accused with zina, and then she came home, and then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came, and then Umm Ruman radiallahu anha came, and Nabi alayhi salam came, and then Aisha radiallahu anha looked at the father and said, 'Oh my father, explain the story.' And Abu Bakr said, 'Oh my darling daughter Aisha, I can explain and defend and give proof if I have to speak to anyone but Allah's Nabi. When it's Allah's Nabi, I can't muster the courage to explain anything, my daughter. I don't wish to neglect you or abandon you, but I'm lost for words. I know that's your husband and that's my, you know, that I appreciate the relation. But how do I start? I don't have those words.' So Jibreel tells Malakul Maut that, 'You know what, you may go ahead.' Malakul Maut says, 'O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna Allah arsalani ilayk. Allah has instructed me that this moment I remove your soul. فَإِنْ أَمَرْتَنِي قَبَضْتُهُ. If you approve, very gently, very tactfully, I will gradually remove your soul. And if you decline, أَطَعْتُكَ. I will obey you.' Nabi alayhi salam said, 'أَوَتَفْعَلْ يَا مَلَكَ الْمَوْتِ. O Malakul Maut, will you really remove my soul?' He said, 'بِذَلِكَ أُمِرْتُ وَأُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَطِيعَكَ. I am literally between a rock and a hard place.'" What a daunting challenge for Malakul Maut. Perhaps the only time he lost his breath. Perhaps the only time he was now, he said, "I'm between, you know, in between a rock and a hard place. Allah has told me to remove the soul, and Allah is equally said, I must respect your sentiments." At that point, Nabi alayhi salatu was salam then just gazed at Jibreel. Scholars of hadith say that gaze was symbolic to consultation. Jibreel, what's the way forward? What a moment. What a presence of malaika. Just as the moment of arrival on which we commence the talk marks the greatest of moments, undoubtedly the moment of demise concludes the saddest of moments in the annals of human history. Nabi alayhi salam makes eye contact with Jibreel. Jibreel said, "O Muhammad of sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if that is symbolic to consultation, the answer is, inna Allaha qad ishtaqa ila liqa'ik. Allah is passionately anticipating your return. Allah is passionately anticipating your return." He then looks at Malakul Maut, and I don't know how and what, how Malakul Maut brought himself to that. And he said, "Malakul Maut, go and do what you have to do." And the greatest soul was removed, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, which Fatima radiallahu anha said, "Ya abata, ajaba rabban da'a. Ya abata, ila jibreel nan'a. Ya abata, jannatul firdausi ma'wa." Oh my dad, you responded and said labbaik when your Allah called you. When someone passes away, we contact his close friends. Your closest friend was Jibreel. Do we contact Jibreel? Ila na'a yan'a, to convey the message of death. And there are many other meanings as well. Jannatul firdausi ma'wa. Your abode undoubtedly is jannatul firdaus. If you read Hisni Haseen, then there was a presence of Khidr alayhi salam, according to one narration, who then came forward and gave the Sahaba encouraging words. Gave them encouraging words, that these are words of consolation. Whoever will read this, فَإِنَّمَا الْمَحْرُومُ مَنْ حُرِمَ الثَّوَابُ. The message is to continue with the legacy of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fatima radiallahu anha said, مَاذَا عَلَى مَنْ شَمَّ تُرْبَةَ أَحْمَدُ أَلَّا يَشُمَّ مَدَى الزَّمَانِ غَوَالِيَا. ماذا على من شم تربة أحمد ألا يشم مدى الزمان غواليا. if you were present in the burial of my father, and you put your hands on the grave of my father's grave, then rest assured you will be independent from fragrance till the day you die. You don't need deodorants, you don't need itar, you don't need scent. You have smelt the sand of the grave of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My brother, that was the demise and the saddest moment of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's bring the matter home. Where will I die? Definitely the angel of death is not going to come asking my permission. He will be coming barging. I hope he comes barging in a masjid to find me and not a casino. I hope he comes barging to find me in the path of Allah and not a club. I hope he comes to find me when I'm in contact with my partner and not a strange woman. I hope he finds me when I'm on the journey of Hajj and not signing a fraudulent deal. I hope he finds me when I've erased the traces of evil and I have deleted all the haram contacts. I hope he finds me when my pocket is free from haram, my thoughts are free from haram. My Nabi said, كَمَا تَعِيشُونَ تَمُوتُونَ وَكَمَا تَمُوتُونَ تُحْشَرُونَ. The manner in which you love, so will you die. And the manner in which you die, so will you meet your Creator. May Allah instill and infuse and internalize within us the noble, impeccable, flawless, outstanding character of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we return here empowered with iman and we go and make a much contribution, a much needed contribution in reflecting the pristine and the noble life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا أتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. Oh Allah, these brothers that have gathered here in the hundreds, oh Allah, the sisters that are listening over the airwaves, the sisters that have gathered here in the ladies' facility, all have come here to listen to the noble life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh Allah, indeed we are wicked and we are sinful, but we do associate ourselves to the pristine life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh Allah, we have united today on a common platform, on a common agenda, and that is to cherish the noble life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh my Lord, by the mercy of the noble life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, envelope us all in your mercy, oh Allah. Allah, free our eyes from haram, free our ears from haram, free our tongues from vice and immorality and vulgarity, oh Allah. Let us return here as ambassadors of deen, oh Allah. Oh Allah, grant us deliverance in all our crises, socially, economically, domestically, internationally, oh Allah. Allah, those that have been victims of the recent catastrophes, Allah, Allah, grant them deliverance, oh Allah. Grant the homeless homes, oh Allah. Grant those that don't have any food, provide them with halal, wholesome meals, oh Allah. Those that don't have shelter, oh Allah, provide them with wonderful abodes, oh Allah. Save us from your wrath and your might, oh Allah. Save us from calamities and catastrophes, oh Allah. Oh Allah, those of the Muslims that are continuing to be the victims of brutality and aggression at the hands of, oh Allah, the disbelievers and those who perpetrate crimes against them, oh Allah. Allah, grant them protection, safety and amnesty, oh Allah. Oh Allah, we return to a soft bed and a good shower and a wonderful meal while another child, oh Allah, will be sleeping and his blood will be swallowed by the earth, oh Allah. Another woman will become a widow somewhere in some part of the world, oh Allah. Another child will walk without parents, oh Allah. How many qabrs will be made this moment? How many bombs will fall upon this ummah? My agenda remains the same for the next morning. My sports, my entertainment, my activity, nothing changes in my life. Oh my Allah, my dead heart needs to be revived. Oh Allah, my heart has become more dead than the earth, Allah. Even the earth softens with a gentle rain, Allah. Floods of guidance has come, but this earth of this heart of mine is not softening, oh Allah. Oh Allah, you make it fertile, oh Allah. Allah, make this heart fertile, that akhlaq grows on it, Allah. تُؤْتِي أُكُلَهَا كُلَّ حِينٍ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهَا. Make us the true resemblance of the nakhla, the date palm, as the hadith of Bukhari and the ayat of Surah Rad explains, oh Allah. Oh Allah, give us that beautiful character, oh Allah. We are begging you, oh Allah. As the brothers of Yusuf said, وَجِئْنَا بِبِضَاعَةٍ مُزْجَاتٍ. That, O King, we have come with counterfeit notes. In fact, we are asking you, تَصَدَّقْ عَلَيْنَا, be charitable upon us. Allah, we've come with counterfeit actions. We are asking you, take it as an excuse. Oh my Lord, you have said, وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. Do not rebuke the beggar. Who can be greater beggars than us, oh Allah? Oh Allah, accept our humble begging before you, oh Allah. Allah, this ummah is going through great strain, oh Allah. Allah is going through strain on all levels, internally, physically, emotionally, socially, on every level, Allah. Allah, let us see some light. Let us see a glimmer of hope. Let us see a beacon, Allah. Even if it be at a distance, Allah, let us see some hope. Save us from despondency. Oh Allah, save us from all this drug and related intoxicants, oh Allah. Save us from all immoralities, oh Allah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu abduka wa nabiyyuka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ibaduka as-salihun. Wa na'udhu bika min kulli sharrin masta'adhaka minhu abduka wa nabiyyuka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ibaduka as-salihun. Anta al-musta'an wa alayka al-balagh. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما